Would you like to know more? Would you like to know more?
Welcome to War Machine Podcast, episode 98 with Paul and Barry.
Hello, listeners. How are you?
They're all fantastically hot and sweaty.
Yes, indeed.
We're in the middle of... What?
I don't know what is going on, really.
Yeah. The only time I've come near to this, I was 6 years old. It was 1976.
Yeah, you think?
Yeah, fuck it, that was hot. Yeah. Jesus, that was hot. I remember having to queue up to get water out of a standpipe. Well, I mean, we're not there yet, but we're not far away.
It's grim in the north, isn't it?
That wasn't just the north. But I mean, we're pissing through water and there's no water coming in.
Yeah, but basically we're in a bit of a heat wave at the moment.
And it's been like a month.
And it is sustaining, yeah.
And there's no end in sight.
Not
and
at
like,
the moment, no.
You see these reserves of water in the northwest of England, which is normally, like, they have water like you wouldn't believe.
Yeah.
It rains, like, 300 days a year.
Yeah.
And there's, like, they're running out of water.
Yeah.
So it's like, oh, shit.
Yeah. Problem.
Shit. So, yeah, that's how hot we are in the UK. Global warming.
Yeah, it's not a thing.
It's not a thing. It's all bullshit, mate.
It's all bullshit. It's definitely not a thing.
What do they call it? Like fake facts or
fake facts,
fake news.
Fake news.
I said we're all melting. Okay. So, what have we been doing? It's been 2 weeks because I haven't even released the last episode yet because Paul's going away for more than 2 weeks.
I go away today.
For more than two weeks.
Sadly.
So I'm going to release the episode we recorded a little while ago today, and then this episode's going to be released in 2 weeks, and then we'll have to record a new episode when you get back.
Yeah. Well, whenever that. I mean, when I do come back, if.
You won't have much to talk about games-wise.
No, God no. But I mean, hopefully I'll have got some painting done. But I can tell you what I've been up to with the army. But also I will have more free time when I come back as well.
And I'll have a lot less free time. So that's quite interesting. Paul gets back just as my three kids stop school for the summer. So it'll be interesting. We'll get some recordings in the evening and stuff.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Life will move on. So what have you been doing in this? I think it's been almost 2 weeks, maybe.
Well, the episode...
it's definitely been at least 1 week.
Yeah, it's about Sterling. Yeah, like...
Oh, yeah, it's Sterling. Well, that's the main episode.
That's the main episode, main
topic. Have you done anything else? I saw you play something on Wednesday.
I did go down the club.
I saw it. I saw the monstrosity that was War Machine.
God, it was... Oof, it was not good. So I played War Machine down the club last night. This is a Friday... No, not last night. Wednesday night. This is Friday the 6th we're recording on. And I'd, you know... I picked up a game against Dave.
Did you have two lists?
I had two lists. Two lists. But I wanted to try this other list above. Basically, Dave pushed my face in with his list. I was like, this is almost impossible for me to beat.
Was it a deliberate anti-Signar list?
I don't know if it was or what, but it was one of, and I think it was one of more Dave's creations. But it was so bent. It was just.
I don't just think it's your own creation anymore.
Really.
Take like, tier list. Follow tier list.
Yeah, kinda. I mean, like, it was like. Yeah, I mean, I wanted to try a Gravedigger tier list, but I don't have, like, probably the best caster for it, which is Siege 2.
Siege 2.
And nor do I have, like, the later Trencher little individual stuff. But even so, I don't see how I could have gotten through what he threw at me.
Yeah. See, because even Cricks, which is supposed to be nimbly, dodgy, not much armour.
Yeah.
Cricks going to get armour up the wazoo now.
Yeah, well, exactly. I mean, like, his troops are running around with two buffs on them, which was impossible for me to remove, really. Like, because one buff is coming from them just being base to base. Another buff is coming from being close to a Wraith engine, which is incorporeal until it attacks. So unless you have magical weapons, and you need a lot of magical weapons, like one won't do it, you know, it's how do you remove that? So unless he attacks you first. So it's like, basically, I couldn't do anything on the approach, and it was in amongst me. And I had a fairly okay feat turn, but it was nowhere near enough, and I just...
So who were you using on in the Nemo?
I was using Siege 1 for that one. But, like, yeah, and I just...
Superfly.
Yeah, I just
he can get rid of armour.
Yeah, well, only if he can attack it, you know, like...
He's got a magical gun?
Well, he has, but it's not one hit isn't going to be enough, you know, like, it's...
Maybe not.
Yeah, so it wasn't great. I mean, basically, playing the game didn't make me, love War Machine. Like... Sad.
I liken you to a moth, keep getting drawn to the flame, and then you get your feet and wings burned, and you fucking run away.
So
then you come back in 3 months later.
Yeah. So what I did was is that what I had done is I went on a War Machine like club, a group forum, and I just said, okay, I just need some bent lists now. Like, I've got one bent list, but it's like, I have it. Forget about making the game fun, like for your opponent or any. Like, if you can put down something like which is completely checkmates them, then you've got to. This is what War Machine is now.
You've it's just rock paper scissors.
Yeah, you just
but, like to the extreme.
Yeah, to the you've just got to do it. You know, and I got shit. I got linked to. Oh, was it on Discount Games, which I think is the American like one connected with the site connected with Chain Attack?
Right.
They list tons of lists like that have done well. And I just went on there and just, like, took off a few of them, and it's like, there you go. Like, yeah, it's a bit, in a sense, it's a bit like Shadespire, where I'm not playing it enough to build my own decks. I'll just go take one off the internet. It's like, okay. It kind of feels like Matt with me with War Machine now. It's like, I'm not playing the game enough. I'm just going to take something horrible off the internet.
But they tried to stop that being available. And they also, Shadespire, they give you the list. Yeah. So here are the best lists.
Yeah, yeah.
But War Machine, like, kind of, we're hiding this information. We don't want this information out there because we know that it just ends up degenerating into like two lists per faction and it's done.
It literally, like, I was looking through the Signal lists that are listed there. They're all tier lists. They're all theme lists. And it's like, well, okay, so I just picked one. Like, I picked a pretty damn horrible Striker 2 one, which is like, right, okay.
I've got loads of Striker 2 stuff. Yeah. I've got two full units of horses. Yeah. Nobody ever uses them. Stormlancers.
Well, oh, no, they get used quite a bit, I think. Anyway, I played a game of War Machine. It was not great, but it's like, right, that's just taught me.
Double down, sir.
Yeah,
double
like,
down.
What War Machine is. Yeah, God knows what you're going to do with all your War Machine stuff.
I don't know. Leave it in my loft until I get bored of it. But one thing I would say, and try and put it into a War Master kind of. If you had a theme list, but that theme list provided a bonus, some of the bonuses available now are so big that you're getting. Playing with 3,000 points instead of 2,000 points.
Yeah, exactly.
That's how big it is.
Yeah.
It's like, for every four units of Spearmen, you get two free units of Spearmen.
Yeah.
And you go like, Jesus Christ, I'm playing like... if you're not playing in tier now, you're giving up 50% extra stuff.
Yeah, it's got into that. Exactly. And it's like, so you have to play in tier. Some of the tier lists are better than others. Like the one, like anyone that allows you points off something that's quite good... You know, then it's worth taking. Like the heavy metal one for Signar gives you points off bad troops, so that's not really worth taking, not really worth doing. The Storm Division one is good because it gives you points off fairly decent things. The Sons of the Tempest one is good because it gives you points off gun mages, like gun mage stuff. They're quite good. But this one, the one that would like push my face in, that was Crix, was like giving you point off warjacks.
Oh really?
And it's like, oh my god. I mean, okay, some selected warjacks, but still it's like, oh, so you're buying warjacks and getting points off warjacks. It's like that's why you can have a colossal and two battle engines and still have a big army.
If you tried to do that in Hordes, you'd have no army. But in War Machine, the discount is so insane, and the fact you're taking warjacks anyway.
Yeah,
the parity between the two systems is completely gone. I can't see anybody playing Hordes anymore.
I don't know. Yeah,
it's impossible.
The thing I was talking to Dave about it is that the thing is you either get your face pushed in or you push your opponent's face in. There's no game. There's no like middle line now. So it's like, okay, I just accept that for what it is. Does that make me want to go to an event particularly? Not really.
Yeah, but you will. I can see it. You will. I won't, but you will.
But afterwards, we did something a bit more fun. We played a big game of Shadespire.
I played Jim the Gent.
Mm-hmm.
I'm going to talk about it, maybe.
Yeah, you can.
I think so. So I'm going to talk about playing Jim the Gent. So Jim brought down a cafe list, which was relatively balanced. He didn't go max on the artillery.
He should go on the artillery. He has to. Well, anyway, he will soon. He'll have to.
It's a lot of points, though, to be fair.
But it is it's something that has to be stressed, like, put on the table.
I was talking to him about how Cathay artillery have similarities to Goblin artillery. And what we ended up having to do was rein in the Doom Diver.
Because
it was too far outside the norm.
Yeah.
The bolt throwers are bolt throwers, but the Doom Diver was way too effective in what it did. And I rolled way too many dice. So we had to roll that back in. So I think that's what's going to happen here. Because you've got access to four of those rocket launchers, they're going to have to be more... They can't be better than a normal stone thrower, can they?
No.
Because you've got four of them.
Yeah.
So if anything, they have to be worse. Because you get access
gonna,
to more.
If you're going to keep four, yeah. You either bring them into, completely into line with something else and max them at two in an army.
Because they're even better them. Than the... What's the one, the Tomb Kings one, that causes confusion on a four-up?
I don't... Okay, so...
Because there's more of them.
Oh, okay, because there's more of
four
them.
Four of them.
Yeah. Okay, so they're exactly the same, but there's more of them. Yeah.
Yeah, I think... And they don't have a stand and shoot, but neither does the Rock Lobbers. No, whatever it's called.
Screaming Skull Catapult.
Yeah, that one. That one. And they've also got a weird variant of the Catapult. The bolt thrower. It's more expensive, but range 60.
Range 60, yeah.
I mean, how much tightening have they put on this thing? It's shooting as far as a cannon, man.
Yeah, exactly.
So that again needs to be reined in to be just like everybody else's.
Yeah,
it does. I mean, the Chinese were clever, but I'm not sure they were that clever.
No, it needs standardising. When I had that session with Jim and I looked at the list before and after, I was like, that's how you abuse this thing. That's the thing you need to... You need to put on the table and say, okay, that's too much, isn't it? These...
But potentially, so 85 times 4, mm-hmm. which is 340.
Yeah.
And another 65 times 2 is 130. That's nearly five. That's quarter of your army, just in artillery.
Yeah, but it is quite... I mean...
It's quite
good.
Fragile, artillery. And if you build the brigades too big, it's hard to protect them.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. It's true. Mm-hmm. But you could just have... It just allows you two artillery brigades, doesn't it, that do something.
That's exactly what he did.
Yeah.
He had two artillery brigades.
Yeah, yeah.
And they just both died to pterodons. as artillery will do.
Yeah, yeah.
Because even though they're taking a bit of damage
pterodons,
on the way in.
You mean warhawk riders.
Yeah, they're pterodons, aren't they? In disguise. So, yeah, and then even though you take a little bit of damage on the way in from the spear chucker things.
Yeah. Doesn't know enough.
It's not enough. I only have to beat you by one, and you lose all of it.
Yeah, you're all gone. Mm-hmm.
And that's exactly what happened. Yeah. Took some damage, and I lost both units of pterodons, but I took out all the artillery.
Mm-hmm. Hang on.
That's how the game started.
Yeah. So give us a talk down. So you were using wood elves.
I was using a certain build of wood elves. Now, what I will say is that this new list offers a madness amount of lists. I swear you could build this list 20 different ways. There's so much variety and it's quite a big list. You can have like a... Yeah. Mm-hmm. So I thought it was quite a stock list.
Yeah. So what was in it?
Two of the Glade Guard, which are just high elf archers.
Don't you have to have more than that as minimum?
No, I don't think there are any, are there? Is there one per thousand on there?
Glade Guard, the archers?
Yeah.
No, there's three is a minimum.
It's not three.
It is. Hang on, I'll go grab a book.
I'll tell you what the problem with this, because I got caught out in the night. The problem is, it's not on Warmaster List Builder, so I'm having to do it on a bit of paper, which is never ideal, because that allows me to make errors.
Glade Guard, two out of four.
Okay.
So how many did you take?
Well, I took two.
So you took an illegal list?
Oh, I took an illegal list because I had to change it on the night because I didn't realise dryers are compulsory.
Yeah. Well, you didn't read the list, did you, Barry?
I did, but I was doing it on a bit of paper. when Dave makes it on his Warmaster list builder, you can't build an illegal list.
No. Well,
unless the list itself is wrong.
Yeah.
So please, Dave, help me out. Help a brother out,
so
man.
So Barry managed to cheat, right?
Okay. It would make no difference because he didn't do anything.
Right, fair enough. Go on. Yeah.
We got four Eternal Guard, which now would have been more Glade Guard, I guess. Mm-hmm. We got the War Dancers we took, but only to turn into woods.
Yeah.
But if you couldn't turn them into woods, you've got War Dancers, which are skirmishers.
So you took two stands of them?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. We have the Wild Riders, which are... weird, actually. I found these the least impressive of the whole list.
Okay.
Because they're expensive.
Well, I think they're the fair points cost for what they are.
What are they?
I think so, yeah.
I think only because they're immune to terror.
Hmm, yeah.
Because they're 335. Now, how much would you pay for 335 cavalry?
Depending what it's... But they're on, with no other rules.
With no other rules?
Probably there'd be about 90 points.
They are exactly 90 points, and these are 110.
But
they've got one plus, which is they get an extra attack first round of combat in the front.
Yeah.
But that's very minor. If you consider boar boys...
No, I think that and immune to terror is worth the 20 points.
I don't know about 20 points, but it's definitely worth summing. Mm-hmm. But they also have the negative trait of being harder to command.
Well, down to what everybody else's command is.
Yeah, of course, yeah. Mm. But it, when I was using these four units, because I took four units of these, there was no point that I was happy with them.
Okay.
I'd rather have had any other type of cavalry, probably, medium or heavy.
Fair enough.
Because they're just too expensive for what they bring.
Okay, well, so that's actually a good thing, then, to the list.
Yeah.
It's it's not all bad. It's not all far too good, yeah.
Because, like, Boar Boys... Mm-hmm. Which are, I guess these are priced against.
4, 3, 5.
Yeah, so they get an extra attack all the time.
Yeah.
Not just first round in the front. But they're immune to terror things just built into the list. There's no premium charge for that because the orcs, which are dryads, and the ogres or black orcs, which are the treekin, they're not any more expensive than they should be because they're immune to terror.
Okay.
So if anything, the Wild Riders are a little bit expensive for what they do. But that's the only mounted punch you have.
Yeah.
Because the other guys are just Reavers, aren't they? Glade Riders.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. They're very much light cavalry. They only have light cavalry and medium. And they should have. They only have light cavalry and medium cavalry. And it's fair enough. They pay a bit of a premium for that medium cavalry because they're not a heavy mounted list.
Yeah, for sure. But and the other thing is, so you think, these cavalry are kind of like mediocre at best and expensive. Mm-hmm. And then you're only command 9 again with them. So it's like, if I was a high elf, I'd be throwing silver hounds, which are better than these. I'd take silver hounds against these any day.
Yeah, as long as I get the charge off of them. Yeah.
Against even without the charge, I've got more armour.
Okay. Well.
And I've got leadership 10. Dark elves have obviously got cold ones, and leadership 10.
Yeah. Well, that's the difference between them and wood elves, isn't it?
Yeah, I think
they've got to be different. The Wood Elf list has to be different, doesn't
it? Yeah, for sure. So, like, I don't know what the answer is, because you're going to need to take some cavalry, just probably not a lot.
Yeah.
Because it's not that good.
Mm-hmm.
And it can't get in the woods. And everything else can. So, anyway, the interesting spiky thing I did was I took a general and just 2 spell weavers. Because I noticed that the -1 to command was only for heroes and generals.
Yeah.
For the woodland folk. Yeah. For the, what are they called? What do they call them?
But it's there, right in front of you, Barry.
Forest fucking spirits, they're called. Woodland creatures, forest spirits. So they're immune to terror. Pretty cool. Suffer -1 command penalty when being ordered by general or noble. Well, your spell weaver is not a general or a hero.
No. But he's a wizard with command 20.
But he's leadership 8.
Yeah, but if you're content to keep them... if you're content
just
to
imagine
run,
a lizard man.
No, okay, well, if you, but that's a forfeit you're paying, then, isn't it? Yeah.
Well, your general's not bad. Well, what's the alternative, fella? I've got a noble who's command 7.
Well, okay.
Well, it's like a bit of pecking goblin.
Or use forest spirit characters.
If you look, which one?
Well, a treeman.
He's 130 points, man.
Yeah, but like, what else does he do?
He's got more attacks. Yeah, he causes terror.
Yeah, so. That's useful, or
but it's a lot of points.
Or use the branch wave, so that the forest spirit hero.
They're no better.
Well, I command it.
Branch wave. Oh yeah, I see what you mean. Because zero. Yeah.
Yeah. Well, they command.
And they got one spell. Yeah. Okay.
So there are options. It's not all as you say it is.
No, but you've still got threat range 50 for 2 orders on an 8/7. That's about as good as you're going to need normally. But it did make a big difference not having leadership 10 on the cavalry, especially when the cavalry is wanky.
Yeah.
Anyway, the game was a game of, I think Jim's posted up online.
Well, yeah, but assume people haven't read that. Okay.
Well, there's quite a lot to talk about, so I don't want to eat into all your sterling time.
Well, no,
but
fine.
Basically, after you're deployed,
or
during your deployment, you can choose to forfeit deploying your war dancers and put down 2 wards on your side if you don't already have 4. Well, I had none because it was a desert.
Yeah.
But obviously, we teleported our square woods in.
Which sadly look awful. Because
but that's the maximum dimension is 16 centimetres, so they're going to be 16 centimetre squares. That's what they're going to be. There's no point pretending they're not, because that's exactly
I know, but it's like, oh dear.
It's not as bad as it was, because it was half a sheet of A4.
Like, it did not look very good, but carry on.
So they're 12 centimetres apart. You put them on the midline,
because
that's where you want them. And then if you get first turn, you just get to the wood as quickly as you can, and then don't come out of wood. So each of these 2 woods fits 8 units in 2 brigades of 4.
So how did you angle the Warhawk Riders so they were going to have to charge the...
I didn't need to, because I just ordered them in.
Oh, right, okay, so you just pulled it off. Yeah, so...
And just took the one, because...
So how could Jim have protected his artillery brigades from that?
Well, how did
stuff in front of it? Yeah, and then...
Yeah, but then they don't shoot in direct, do they? So you have to get on a hill. If there's no hill to get on, then how do you protect them?
Okay.
We can't, can you? If there's room for them to see to shoot out, there's room for them to be charged.
Yeah. Difficult.
So, this is the whole problem with artillery against flyers, isn't it? Without flyers, artillery would be rampant, wouldn't they?
That's true, yeah. Mm-hmm.
So, these two woods, we get everything in the woods and then just make Jim charges in the wood? I mean, he could have quite happily not, but yeah. I'd already got rid of his artillery, so the only way he can win the game, because I'm moving the woods towards him as well, as you do, moving them together and forwards, so they kind of converge to one...
Super wood.
And then you can just move the wood. So if you were in a place where you had to contest an objective, I could just move the wood over the objective.
See, this is telling me that...
And I could take my troops with me in the wood.
Yeah.
Obviously.
Oh, dear.
Well, it's better than it was.
Better than it was.
Because they were free.
Yeah.
So at least I'm paying for them. But I'd quite happily pay more than 30 points for them.
Yeah.
In the right situation. If the table's full of woods, then don't bring them. You don't need the woods. But if it's not...
I think, well, so anyway. So you basically... So to sum up the stuff. You played against Jim. It wasn't a great game.
But that's because he brought, like, silly tools, really.
Right,
for the okay. He brought, like, frenzied troops. So what you do is, like, you move the wood with the ogres in it, 30 centimetres away from the frenzied troops. And you're charging ogres in a wood with fanatics?
Yeah.
No, that's not going to work well, is it?
Yeah.
So you managed to remove Astand.
Yeah.
Like, for the cost of the whole brigade of fanatics.
Six stands to one.
So we beat them up over two rounds. We didn't pursue. We stayed in the woods. Waiting for them to charge again next turn. And then just waiting for them to wear themselves out.
Yeah.
Although his chariots were far superior to my cavalry.
Yeah.
Because they've got... Cathay have got the Tomb King's chariots.
Yeah. Well, they can only take two units of them?
I think it's four in total. Yeah. Mm-hmm. But that's all you can afford generally anyway, even in Tomb Kings.
Yeah. So... how would Wood Elves play against Wood Elves?
It would be very boring.
Yeah.
I don't know how it would play. Because it's one of those really defensive armies that there is no incentive to come out of the woods. Because you've not got much armour, generally. I mean, you're not pathetic. You're not halberdiers. But, five up's as good as you're getting. And it should be, because you're not heavily armoured, are you?
No, not meant to be, yeah.
So then you have to stay in the wood. You have to fight in the wood. But then I don't know what the incentive for them to fight you in the wood is.
Yeah.
Because you ain't winning. so it's an interesting one.
So anyway, going forward, what is happening of this is that the Triwiz is going to allow Wood Elves, like...
As
written as they are. And we'll see what...
Janus comes up with.
Yeah, well, what happens on the day? Like, how many Wood Elf players are there? And where do they... Where
well, that's good. If he just says he's taking Wood Elves, then I won't. Because you don't need... If you end up with too many Wood Elf players, it will just be silly.
Well, that's what I'm saying, is it's like, I mean, if this list is not great...
I'm not saying the list is not great.
Yeah.
There's a lot of stuff in here.
But, like, does it need to dominate an event, like, just to prove a point? Like, it's not like there's an abundance of events, but anyway, that's their event.
I don't know if it will dominate the Triwiz, because you've got to win.
Yeah, I suppose.
You can't win small, you've got to win big. Mm-hmm. So I don't know how you'll win big with this if they refuse to fight you. It'll be like that crazy Silverhelm game I had, where they were in the wood, I couldn't go in the wood, so there's no point playing.
Yeah.
So if you're going to stay in the wood, I mean, you might be able to move your wood towards me eventually, but if you're not going to come out of the wood, where's my incentive to come in the wood? I can't beat you in the wood. I can't do it. It's not possible. Unless I've got Chaos Warriors and really lucky dice.
Yeah.
How am I beating you in this wood?
Well, it depends what troops you end up getting into contact touch with.
They're ogres, the big ones.
Mm-hmm. Treekin, you mean?
Yeah, well, they're immune to terror.
Mm-hmm. Right. So we have identified a problem. How do you fix it?
Well, maybe eventually you just have to lose the woods, but that's been the whole issue all along. That's why the Beastmen had to lose the woods.
Well, I think, we'll see. So I guess what I've said is like, I'll see what happens in the Triwiz. I've no desire particularly to take a Wood Elf army. Yeah, like, I wouldn't mind. I'd like to play against one, definitely, because and try and think around the problems that are presented to me on the table rather than hearing them like second hand.
Find something that can come in a wood.
Well, I say like, but it would. And then for the event, because then I'd have the next event. Because I like playing scenarios. I can't see how it can be fair to like have scenery that you can move around, for scenario play. So it might be that like I'd allow Wood Elves, but without that
Yeah, but they can move the other woods.
Well, that's okay. Well, then fair enough. But at least they're then limited to, you know, reasonably sized woods that aren't, they haven't chosen where they are. At least there's something with that, you know. Like, they won't be as dominating as putting 2 16 square blocks of wood on a centre line that you can then tree sing together. You know, so you can fit your whole army in there.
Well, you can, basically. Yeah, well, apart from the cavalry and the pterodons, everything was in the wood.
Exactly.
Everything's in the wood, mate.
Yeah.
There's enough wood for 16 units in the woods.
Yeah, so that certainly... for any scenarios would have to go. You can't have that.
Well, they just can't. Yeah, but the scenario could make them have to come out of the wood.
I suppose, but sooner or later, like, those woods that you've placed will move over to where they need to go, isn't it?
Eventually. But they don't want to come out of the woods, do they? You can't charge. I thought in my mind you could charge with the wood, so you could basically be in the wood and move the wood and charge, but you can't. It doesn't work anymore. Right. Mm-hmm. So eventually you'd have to come out of the wood. Eventually, I guess, in order to do something.
To do something.
Unless the wood moves over an objective.
Well, see, I mean, like, I just think it would be a shame if a event in, say an event in Saffronwood and Triwiz was dominated by this, and people came away feeling like lame, like as in that was lame. That would be a real shame, as personally, as like, you know.
I don't think it would happen in Triwiz. I think it's far less likely to happen because of the way the scoring works.
Hmm.
You can't win small.
Yeah.
And this army's designed to win small unless you want to run into a wood constantly and try and beat them out of the wood. If you don't engage with them, they can't win. It's just a draw, is it?
Yeah, that's a bit lame, isn't it, as well? Okay, well, anyway, problems for the future.
But, yeah, I mean, there are lots of fragile armies out there.
Yeah.
And this is a fragile army.
Yeah.
But I don't know if it's fragile enough to warrant bringing its own defensive positions to every game.
Yeah.
Because there are other fragile armies out there.
They can't do that.
Yeah.
Yeah. It might. So, yeah.
And they're not even punished command-wise for being in the woods.
Well, which is fair enough, because of what they... it's in their title, isn't it?
Right.
You know, but
I want my lizardmen to have these free woods, man. They're pretty good in woods, lizardmen. If I could bring my own woods, teleport them in. They've got big minds, these slants.
I think the way you're talking is that this sells as... this is a problem army, but if you deleted their chance to place their woods, as in, like, you deleted their chance to bring their own scenery... But you had a standard of scenery on the table, then I think that's fair enough, isn't it?
Well, the other thing is our woods are quite small. You can just about get a brigade in, just about. You certainly can't get two.
But it shouldn't dominate, should it? Like, I think that's fair, personally. Don't you? What you think?
But I think the size of the woods is probably right, because you have to be able to fit a brigade into a wood, otherwise the game doesn't work. So it's 16 centimetres for a reason.
Yeah.
Because that's the width of a brigade of infantry.
What? Is in 4, 8, 12? No. That'd be 12 centimetres.
Four in column.
Okay.
Yeah, yeah.
Right, okay.
So that's why it was 16.
I mean...
I think at the end of the day, all along, that the issue is the woods. Which has not really ever been the list. It's just the way the woods play. And if you're playing a casual game, knock yourself out. But in tournaments, they're going to be a pain in the arse.
Yeah, one way
or the other.
Yeah.
Anyway...
attention! If you need to get your miniatures safely from point A to point B, then get yourself a KR Multicase. KR Multicases come in all manner of different shapes and sizes, and have gamer-friendly pricing. So do yourself a favour and get yourself a KR Multicase today! Soft foam, hard cases.
So, Paul, Stirling. You went to Stirling this weekend.
Right, yeah. So that was an event in Scotland. So I went a week ago today. So obviously going from southern England to Scotland takes the best part of a day to travel. So you're talking about like 8+ hours on various trains. So I wouldn't want to do it every time. And even getting a discounted ticket with a HM Forces...
You managed to get a ticket.
With a HM Forces discount on top of that discounted ticket. You must travel on that train. You can't miss it.
Right.
It's not valid on anything else, but that brings the price down of going there to make it so it's... you'd go on trains rather than catching a plane, because it's cheaper than buying a train ticket.
Right.
Anyway, though obviously flying would be a lot less of your time than using the trains. But, I mean, I did take advantage of that because I could crack a laptop open. Yeah, I could do some of my essay that I was I'm working on, or I could do some painting, which I've done quite a bit since I saw you last. But I can't fault the event. The event was fantastic, you know, because me and Janice stayed in a hotel that they had used the year before and found called the Portcullis.
Right.
Which is, Stirling's got famous for medieval fights, basically. It's where...
Within Scotland.
So it was like, you know, the clans. Robert the Bruce and the other guy he was with fought the English at Stirling Bridge. It's famous Scottish victory.
Right.
You know, and kept Scotland, you know, fiercely independent for a while. Anyway, next to Stirling Castle, which is clearly built to dominate the ground around it because of Stirling's on a hill.
Yeah.
You know, there's this hotel called the Portcullis, which is originally a boys' boarding school.
Mm-hmm.
You know, built, I don't know, in the 1870 or something, like a while ago. And it's just a gorgeous building.
Yeah,
and it's like, and for an event, when you're playing miniatures, it's proper medieval. Like, it feels...
Are you playing in
that? No. As in, like, the hotel, being next to the castle, and the hotel itself is medieval-looking. Like, it's got tapestries on the walls of, you know,
picturesque
Hollywood, Scottish-looking, you know, Highlanders fighting. And it's like, you know, probably didn't look like that, did they? But, you know, like, but it, you know, great setting to go and stay. And also it helped that the weather was so good. Like, it was very warm. And this is Scotland. It was,
unheard of, sir.
Unheard of. You know, and it still continued to be very warm, you know, all the time. So, would definitely stay there again. Janice and I did quite a lot of filming, you know, of stuff. You know, from Janice, like, in, you know, headed up on that. So that might appear at some point in the future.
Filming?
Filming.
You know, just randomly on your phones? Or?
No. He'd brought a actual camera.
Okay.
You know, like, so we'll see. I'll see what happens with that.
Hollywood Janice.
Sort of. You know, we got there and we had dinner in the Portcullis Hotel, which the food was really good in their bar, top quality. I was just like, this is fun. This is lovely. And then I didn't get a great night's sleep because it was a bit too warm in the room, to be honest. But
probably no aircon.
You just wouldn't expect in Scotland aircon. It's cold up here, it wasn't that, you know, those days. And then we go along to the venue. Now the venue had changed from being the original community hall, which was to this independent gaming store. And I thought the independent gaming store was really good.
Right.
Like, it was really good. It was, like, as good as an independent gaming store as you'd want it to be. Like, the tables were well lit. There was loads of space. There was, you know, food and drink available there. It was a nice temperature. It was, you know, big. I think it was once a church or something.
Right.
You know, so I was like, this is as good a quality as a gaming hall as you would want. And personally, there's something about... I mean, you can play in, obviously, community halls, there's no problems, like, it's just where you are, but I quite like playing in independent gaming stores as well, because it's like, you know, go around and look around the shop, you know, in between your games, etc., you know. And so I took my Chaos Dwarfs. I was the only Chaos Dwarf player, and the format was three games with... victory points, you had to declare what you gained and what they gained. So that gave you, you know, a running total of victory points, which was the decider. You know, and then, but also victory, that would be offset against how many victory points have been scored against you. Your cumulative difference was the decider. And I was like,
fair enough. You needed three wins and the highest difference in victory points.
Yes, okay. Yes, yeah. Because there were 16 players, so there should have been a fourth round, but there was not going to be a fourth round. So shall I talk about the games?
Oh, if you like, so that'd be interesting to see.
Oh, okay.
Certainly who you played against, what they were using. Were Chaos Dwarf.
I took Chaos Dwarves, Janice took his Dwarves. Yeah, like the same list he'd taken to the London GT.
Is it your stock Chaos Dwarf list? Do you make any changes?
It's the models I have, and I definitely would make changes about the list. So should I talk about how it did and then what I would change
absolutely.
It? Yeah, okay, so my Chaos Dwarf army, which I'll just quickly recap to what it is, has three characters, a general, a wizard and a hero. 4 units of Chaos Dwarves, 2 Blunderbusses, 2 Black Orcs, 4 Orc Slaves, 1 unit of Hobgoblin Wolf Riders, 2 units of Bull Centaurs, 2 units of Hobgoblin Bolt Throwers, and 2 cannon. What are they called? Hell
You've got multiple choices, haven't you?
Oh, no, it's not the Death Rockets, it's the, well, whatever they're called, Earthshaker caps.
They're the ones that confuse on all the brigade,
On four, yeah, and potentially other stands.
On a
other,
six.
Yeah, on a six. Yeah. Right. So my first game was against a guy called David. He was playing a Dark Elf list. All of the games were straight up battle, you know, like no scenario. No clock either. They told us when we were 20 minutes off finishing.
Right. So there was a round clock.
There was a round clock, yeah, but it wasn't harshly enforced in terms of when you, it was just like you're encouraged to finish. Anyway, fair enough.
Okay.
Yeah, so I go up against a Dark Elf list, and I've got the picture here to remind me. Scenery was about the same standard we would, as an amount of scenery we would put down on the table, so that seemed right to me. His Dark Elf list was a bit different than I would have taken as a Dark Elf list. Had no bolt throwers.
I don't like bolt throwers.
Didn't take many archers. Had four units of Witch Elves in it.
Okay, that's interesting.
You know, analysing the two, I was like, of the two armies, he'd taken four units of Cold One Knights.
Just four. Not six.
Could have taken six. And I was like, ooh, you know. But he had no flying character either. He had no terror pausing character. And I actually found all of the three games I played, all of them took a lot of magic items. Like, more than, like...
Not just swords.
No. Like, I don't know if that just happened to be the three people I'd played, but they all took batters and general items and like
lots of
majesty.
People like that. The re-roll on an eight.
All the majesty.
It never worked once.
Yeah, like I was surprised. I was just like, that shows how metas are different, I suppose.
Yeah, for sure.
Anyway, because I'd met the Scottish guys that had come down to the Triwiz, but I played three new people to me. You know, people I've never played before. So against this guy's Dark Elf list, looking at the matchups and the way they did the setup is they just did it by brigade. You sit down a brigade, then they sit down a brigade.
That's how you're supposed to do it, I think.
No, separate units is how you're supposed
to do it. All right, we don't do that.
No, I mean,
there's no scouting role.
No scouting role.
Okay.
Yeah, like you just rolled off to see which table side you wanted. And I was like, fair enough. That's the only way to do it. Yeah, like so what he'd done though is he'd put two units of Dark Riders on one flank and the Cold One Knights on the other flank. So he had heavy cavalry or light cavalry. They hadn't mixed.
Right.
So what I did is I only had one unit of light cavalry, my Hobgoblins, and they set opposite his Cold One Knights. And I was like, I don't have a tool to fight those Cold One Knights. My cavalry is medium cavalry. It's good cavalry. You know, bull centaurs, but they have 5-up armor. They, like, if I charge them into more Cold One Knights, the Cold One Knights will do something,
yeah.
But the Cold One Knights will win. I don't have a tool for that. But what I do have is the range of the game, because he's taken no artillery, you know, and I have to be strong on the, basically, my left and center, where his Cold One Knights aren't. I have to win the game on the left and the centre, while delaying as best I can these Cold One Knights, because I just don't have the right tool for that.
Well, they can certainly move a long way. With he can. 10.
Well, that's another thing. Is he never tried the general to command them.
Okay.
Yeah, his general was commanding his infantry, massive infantry in the centre. But the outstanding, all three games of mine, my Hobgoblin Wolf Riders performed excellently.
Is this because you were using a rule that's optional? Maybe.
Well, no, I did check. Like, they were full.
I'm not saying that's not a good rule.
It was allowed to be used.
Yeah, but yeah. It's a rule that not many people would be familiar with.
Yeah. So,
listeners-wise as well.
Yeah, so this is the light cavalry optional rule in Revolution where you can evade in any direction, and, you know, like, if you choose to evade, and you can't be chased by everything. Like, heavy cavalry won't be able to chase you.
Yeah. No, like, so the only things that can chase you are things like other light cavalry and flyers, yeah?
Yeah. So what I did was, I put my Wolf Riders into 30 centimetres of the... Basically, his cavalry's in a long line, you know, and I put them within 30 centimetres off the one at the end, closest to the table edge. So if he orders that Ute Brigade, it's got a -1, like, as in, I put it within 20...
So they had to initiative charge it or be ordered, and a -1.
Either he comes after me, or he takes a -1 for order.
And he's ordering on an 8 anyway.
Yeah. And plus, and if he does come for me, he's breaking away, he's breaking up his... He's sending cavalry units away for the rest of my army. So that achieves an effect in itself, because I don't want him to fight here. I'm offering him a chance to fight away from me, away from where I want him to
be. Yeah, it's very good, very good.
So, giving me a choice.
Nice tactics.
Yeah, well, it's tactics.
I'd have just ignored them and...
Yeah, well... That was
charged with
that
the general.
That would have been a counter tactic. But what he did was, is he took the bait with one unit. It went in. After a round of combat, I was left with one stand. So I backed away. I got away. He couldn't chase me. And then in my turn, he that single stand got evaded behind him. And then that single stand stayed behind his heavy cavalry for the rest of the game. Just like
annoying him.
Well, just giving them a negative to command, you know, like if you know, so it did a perfect job. Like it didn't, it held its point. Well, yeah, it gave half its points away. Didn't cause any casualties, but it did exactly what light cavalry should do. It gave that unit a role that it wouldn't have normally. Yeah.
Okay. So, but if he'd managed to get an order off, they would now be out of range of that light cavalry, who would need an order to come back
yes,
and engage.
Yeah, yeah, it's
and that's unlikely
yeah,
now yeah, yeah, because there's only one stand left.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, so. It was a risk. Yeah, but like
no, it's a perfect way to play it. But yeah. What the idea would have been just to ignore them and
yeah,
go
yeah.
Past
I mean,
them
like even if I'd presented them a situation where, say, he sends one unit into my light cavalry away from the rest of his army, it smashes them, it kills them in one round
without doing anything.
I do nothing back.
Yeah, of course.
And
yeah.
I don't. And then, but at least I've broken up that brigade and by quite a way. Yeah, yeah, because the way I set it up. Anyway,
it's good they have a role now.
Yeah, no, exactly. Yeah. I mean, like, and he had two units of harpies. He allowed me to get the drop on one. There was a situation where with a couple of orders he could have sent his harpies into my artillery. I was very like trying to guard my artillery, you know, brigade from these harpies because I had to have it intact. Mm-hmm. So there was a moment he could have done it, but he didn't. Didn't take the opportunity. Didn't see it, you know. Like so,
okay,
I said he didn't. You know, so like I got the drop on. So I got the drop on his harpies.
I think people often, because they move so far, people often don't consider making two orders.
It's the angles. Yeah,
so you move
like,
one to change angle completely, and then
yeah.
The second.
It's like how you know.
And there's, with a general, that's 10-9.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
That's
exactly,
pretty good.
Exactly.
Odds.
But it's like he didn't see it, and I managed to take on his light cavalry, you know, like in a nice way, and eventually overpowered his centre because my artillery, I was constantly raining fire down. It just was wearing away dark elves quite at a good rate.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. And
so
confusing, no doubt.
I won that game, basically.
Hey.
But I won it. I gave points away because these Cold War Knights did eventually get to me. I had to, and I did, so I counted. I sent in. I three units of Cold War Knights. I sent in my two units of. I got the charge off with my
centaurs.
They did some damage, but they did not. They eventually died. Like they lost themselves.
Yeah.
To that, and that's 300 points. You know, so I gave quite a bit of points to him, but I'd won the game, and that was against David.
Oh,
all three of these guys, I'd happily play. Everybody, I'd play again. Yeah, they were all great games. Then my second game was against a guy called Ribo is what he was going by.
Well, must be his nickname.
I mean, his nickname.
Right.
He was using Kislev, and this was so.
Kislev, there's another Kislev player in the world.
Was. And so this is quite interesting. This guy has not played much Warmaster. I think this army was. I don't know if it was his, but it was borrowed. Basically, it wasn't finished. It wasn't a finished paint job. It doesn't matter. Scenery, again, same amount of scenery we would have. Hills, woods, a bit of impassable. Loads of... All the scenery was to scale, though. There was no, like, that re-rolled scenery from another game system.
Right, okay,
so they,
cool.
They got loads of scenery as well. You know, like, really nice stuff. So his Kislev army had loads of four units of wing archers, four units of horse archers, two war wagons. It was two units of bears. Oh my god,
bears!
So this game was really good. Basically, he came steamrolling at me, like yo. So I had a hill to set up on my right flank, and I was like, right, classic thing. Set the artillery up in there. I'll use two units of brigades in front infantry. I was tempted to run my brigades as three stands. So, like, orcs with some... black orcs with two units of orc slayers behind them. You know, like... So, I wasn't deploying my brigades as full four strong.
Okay.
I just stretched it out to make three. And I tend to keep with that the whole tournament. I was deploying in depth. So, I didn't want to give him a position where he couldn't get a 30-centimetre move of my artillery without being close to... about close to me.
Yeah.
I had to deploy in depth. And again, his range of anything, of his stuff, is 30 centimetres. I've got 60. So I can outrange this. But these Kislevs just came straight at me. He had loads of banners, three units of magic banners. You know,
whoa, three banners.
Yeah, yeah.
What are you going to take?
Yeah, yeah. Standard shielding one was quite make them heavy cavalry. Anyway, so the two units of Winged Lancers came into my Black Orcs and Orc Slaves, did really well, like hurt them badly. He got really close to taking getting onto my artillery. He moved forward horse archers, but he hadn't played many games, so he's going to have to shoot at some Orc slaves. He thought he could fire on my artillery brigade, but it's like their line of sight is 180, and there's
weird. I think in Ancients it's not. Mm. It's just what's in front of you. Isn't it? You shoot what's in front.
So, but that was that was a mistake. He also made another mistake where he used a ring of magic to freeze spell instead of casting it on the Earthshakers. He could put it on a unit of bolt throwers, and afterwards he realised he should have put it on the Earthshaker. Yeah. So, I was on the back foot for this pretty much most of this game. I was desperately trying to hold back all these cavalry units, while keep my artillery still firing, still active, because I would need that to take on the war wagons.
Yeah.
I would just shell them out. My unit of Wolf Riders went extremely on to my left and got behind a unit of, this time just orders, got behind a unit of Bears and, gave them something to, like, a few little arrows in the back and, like, kept them, like, manageable. But I was like, right, once I defeat his cavalry units, his Winged Lancers especially, if I've got what's intact of my army left will take on the rest of him. So I was peace trading, like, units for, cavalry units and making sure who was managing initiative charges if he chose to take them. But his two units of Bears on his left, his right, my left, came into, so two units came into another Black Orcs, slaves. I lost three units. I took one stand. Immediately, I rolled badly at one point. I missed 11 out of 12 attacks.
Okay, that'll help.
They have no armour. But these Bears roll so many dice. Oh, my God. I think they're rolling seven dice each. And then if they win the fight, they get another dice.
Oh, my God.
What? Who signed off on this? It's like, at least you can only get two units. I was like, wow.
5-4-0, though.
Yeah, plus one extra charge in the open.
But no armor.
No, I couldn't hit them though. I missed. they just deleted a brigade for nothing. For one stand. I was like, three units.
A unit of Bears that scores more hits in the first round than it takes. Yeah, gets another attack.
Yeah.
First stand.
Yeah. It was really good. I was like, wow. Don't think I've faced these before. So that hit me. I won this game, but I was really close to breaking. And what was scary about this guy is that he had such little experience of Warmaster. Like, he's clearly a gamer. He's clearly an intelligent guy.
I've noticed quite a few of the fantasy kind of reasonable tournament players have started moving into kind of Warmaster because it's a stable system that rewards kind of practice.
He had me, I'm the guy who played a lot more games than him, but he had me on the ropes.
Shit, there was a game in the Triwiz, the guy who played like two games and he nearly had me with Chaos. He's beat the shit out of me.
I won this game, but I gave away a lot of points. I'd won it, but with.
So this is one of the ones that caused you not to have a big cumulative win at the end.
Oh, no, I mean, like,
because you gave away a lot of points, but scored a lot of points.
I broke him. I won the game. I broke him and had more victory points, but I gave away a lot as well.
Mr. Janus.
And Janus, actually, he lost his second game.
Wow.
Yeah. So you'll have to ask him for details. But
with dwarves
against the lizardmen.
The good old lizards. If anybody's got the tools to take apart the dwarves.
So Jan has lost. And that was obviously a surprise.
Got good infantry, cheap terror causing stuff.
I mean,
he won't tell us shit, mate.
He will.
We were supposed to have a little section on Janus's tips for using.
Well, he
said fuck all, basically.
Yeah, okay, fair enough, then.
What did he say? I'm not telling you anything.
Well, no, I sent you the listing.
I know. Yeah, the listing. Yeah. So, you got any tips and tricks?
No.
Keep his powder dry.
Yeah. So, very close game, but I won the second game as well. So I go into the third and final, and I'm on the second. I'm on table two.
Okay. You're one of three or four.
One of four people who have won all games.
Oh, wow, okay.
Yeah. Two of them are Tonian lists. Me with Chaos Dwarves and the guy. That was the guy, this player called Guy, who Janus had lost to with Lizardman. They were on table one. So table one was Lizardman, Bretonians.
Yeah.
Labour table two was Bretonians against me, Chaos Dwarves. And I played a guy called Callum with the Bretonians.
What kind of build has he got? Knight heavy or knight light?
He took six units of knights, so his breakpoint was three. No Pegasus knights. But he took two. He played it nicely in terms of he took put the knights as three brigades of two, and he pushed forward two units of Grail knights again with banners. You know, like you know, like one of them banner of shielding on a unit of Grail knights. That's quite a thing, actually. You know, like a three up armor save until they lose a stand. You know, it's quite nice.
it's quite nice.
Scenery was quite good. You know, again, since it had a road running down. You know, like as a. Looking like that, Barry, if you can see. Just, you know, that's for the road.
Oh, very nice. Did you have special rules for the road?
Yeah, if you kept on the road, you know, like, there is a rules for road in the game. It's like, keep the unit on it, you get plus one to command. Yeah, you know, if they have to stay on it.
I don't let them go past 10, though.
Yeah.
For those elf bastards.
No. So again, with this one, I was like, right. He had his two trebuchets. He'd taken trebuchets.
Ooh.
And I did not have anything that could go over there and get them.
No flyers.
He didn't need to protect them, because I had nothing that would that could go over there. You know, I had no flyers.
The flyers are just licking the lips.
My army only has three units of cavalry, so I have nothing to send over there. Really, actually, that would have been the job of the Wolf Riders. I should
have. Did he have the move and shoot new rule?
Yes, yeah, he knew about it. Yeah,
okay, that's
nice. Yeah, I reminded him of it, but he knew about it. You know, like
so you're outranged in this game.
I was, yeah, and I was like, uh-oh. But here I managed his shooting, so I only ever gave him things to fire at that I wanted him to fire at. So, like, first of all, I started off a unit of Orc slaves, which, like, I, you know, wouldn't be pushed back, so the confuser, it took a couple of rounds of shooting for him to finish them off, and, like, I would always dictate what he had to fire at, which is quite, you know, which is how I can manage.
Because they're only doing four wounds on average a turn, aren't they?
Yes,
yeah.
The two of them fire, if they both hit on average. And I was like, right, I have to, classic Bretonians, I have to smash up his peasants that mean nothing for minimal loss, and I have to go for the knights when I can. And if I take out the two units of Grail knights, which he's sending forward, I then have to work out how can I get to either of the two other brigades he's got left. I managed to catch I used my bull set. He pushed forward. He played forward two units each of squires, so two squires and two Grail knights. They were coming forward.
Yeah.
I managed to, you know, shoot up one unit of squires, and he decided to charge with the rest of them into my infantry, so they eventually won out. The other units of squires, I sent my ball centres after. They took actually quite a bit of damage, to be fair, like, for what it took, but I took them out with them. And then I managed to catch his knights in a flank with a double move, and he didn't realise that infantry were going to get one round of pursuit.
Yeah, that's good, isn't it?
Yeah, yeah. So that tidied up the Grail Knights. So then he was forced to commit.
So did the squires get the light cavalry rule?
I'd hit them hard enough that I deleted them in, like, yeah.
Because that's another interesting thing. Yeah. They get a buff now.
Yeah, yeah. So
Janus' list would get even more better.
Yeah. So like, I mean, if my centaurs, like, I couldn't have pursued him. But I'd done enough, like, on one round. I backed off to save wounds.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
You know, like that.
Smashed them up, yeah.
Mm-hmm. But, yeah, I know I couldn't have chased them with these centaurs. You know, so, yeah, I, really here, my mistake was I didn't use my... I should have engineered for a suicidal attempt to try and get his trebuchets with my wolf riders.
Yeah.
I put them on the wrong side of the table, where the deployment was, and I just never got them round again. I was... character light. This is one of the things I'll talk about the list in a moment. Like,
okay.
You know, after catching his Grail Knights, he had to bring forward his two other units of knights, and the game was on, and I managed to catch the third one with my artillery. Like, I engineered a situation where I could... I had to kill an awful lot of peasants,
mm-hmm,
you know, like,
mm-hmm.
But I was Chaos Dwarves, I was, like, not taking many hits, killed some more, back off, save my wounds, go in again. So I took a lot of his army, I got a lot of victory points for this one.
Okay, yeah.
You know, like,
that's the problem with Bretonnians.
And I got the third one from artillery. You know, like, I'd taken a stand off one unit, but I managed to drill enough.
So you only had to do three, and that was it.
Yeah, yeah. And so I won this game as well.
Okay, very nice.
So I went undefeated. I actually got the highest amount of victory points running, but I'd given away, compared to Guy, he won it. So the Lizardman player won his, but against the Bretonnians. But he had given away less VP, over cumulative scores, he'd done better. So I came second.
Yeah. So he had a decent run in, didn't he? He had to beat Bretonnians and Janus with dwarves.
I don't know who he played round one.
Well, fair play to him.
But is it up there? It's like the things that the stuff's online. Yeah, like
so Lizardman are legit, man.
I mean, it's what it is. I mean, all my games finished totally. They did not have to be finished because of the gate. The round time was over. I say you need.
Is there any way you could have milked some more VP? Kind of slow rolled a bit.
Maybe, but I think the build I'd taken, I was going to have to take some damage on to give some. If you follow, so I was really happy with that as a result. I mean, because I would have been happy with going 2-1. You know, like two wins and a loss.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
But to be undefeated, I mean, I said to the guy afterwards, I was like, yo, found him on, you know, like, got his details. I was like, I'd say, I'd like to play you because we didn't get to play the final. And maybe at some point in the future, because he travels quite a bit.
Okay.
Like, he's not, so basically their event, Janus came third.
Right. Okay.
He absolutely annihilated someone in the third round. I mean, like, he lost like 80 points or something.
That's the normal Janus.
And just like, I mean, like, his point score difference was. it's like, oh my god. You know, even though I'd got the minimum amount of V points, like, he didn't lose anything. In a couple of games, he did not lose anybody either. So, but I'd like to play this guy, this person called Guy.
Guy called Guy.
But 1-2-3 was not from their club. So they've already set a date. It's the same date next year. It's running again.
Excellent.
Hope you come along, Barry. It was a really good event.
I don't know why it didn't work out this year.
Yeah. They hosted us in the inn. They took us for a curry. Then they took us, the ones that were staying out drinking, took us to a pub which I couldn't even pronounce the name of.
The
Boffy. It had a Boffy in it. I was like, what is a Boffy?
Little local.
Yeah, yeah. And lots of drinks were had. Janus went home before midnight.
He turns into a pumpkin at midnight.
I got back about 1-2 in the morning, and I realised I couldn't get in the hotel. So for about 15 minutes, I was sitting drunk outside, thinking, "What am I going to do? Am I sleeping out here?" Then I realised, looking around the hotel, how else can I get in? And then I realised, on my key, there was a key for that door.
They obviously thought of it, hadn't they? Here's a key, Paul.
So I managed to get in. So I was like, good, yeah, after sitting outside drunk for 15 minutes. But
okay, so just talk a bit about your list changes.
Yes, so what would I do? So I one thing, I got some of your prizes.
Oh, you know, congratulations. Like,
and I got a lovely little thing on the wall there, the glass thing at the bottom.
Very nice.
I treated myself to buying these things for do some basing for mining your stuff from this company I'd never heard of before.
Games Grass. Mm-hmm. Sounds like something you'd smoke.
Yeah, but like, these lovely little flowers. Not them. Not that stuff.
This is the kind of stuff that Oliver uses. Oliver Belcher on it.
Yeah.
Don't go mad with this stuff.
No.
It's very pink, sir. Very
it's lovely.
Pink.
I think. Well, it's red.
Red, okay. Gamers grass.
Yeah, and
mixed sizes.
Yeah. So, and I also treated myself there to that Flames of War plastic infantry.
We'll have to talk about this next time because there's a lot of stuff in here. There's a lot of new bits and bobs.
Cards and all kinds of stuff. Because in our gaming club, there's a bit. There's a lot of chat about playing Flames of War again. So I picked that up just to see what the quality was like, and it was really. Yeah.
How much?
Oh, it's something written on there. £12.
Jeez, that's a lot of stuff for £12, sir.
So, how would I change the list? So basically, I didn't use blunderbusses very well. None of the games did I use them well. The fact that they were range 15 and not 30 was everything.
Defensive, mate.
Well, yeah, I mean, I took two units, I would drop that to one. And what I needed was another character. And I realised that I was in all of my games.
So what's that one doing? Guarding artillery?
I would take the one because I like having one.
One of everything. Bit of everything.
But it's like But I haven't gotten up there because when I did this army, it was to the list. I need some hobgoblins to push up my... I've taken the max amount of slaves I can take. I can't take any more units of slaves. I need some hobgoblins to push up my break a bit. So basically, I need to cut down on some of the expensive stuff and take more cheap stuff to push the break up, to balance that. And I need another character. I need a Taurus-mounted Chaos Dwarf.
Well, that's expensive, isn't it?
It is. But, like, I need a flying Terror Causer.
Okay,
because
so that...
If none of the opponent I played against... So I played... what was it? Dark Elves? He could have had one. Plutonians... Dark Elves... What was my video game? Kislev. I don't think they had...
I think they had bears.
Bears. But none of them had taken a terror-causing mount. If they had, that would have really hurt my army. Because I don't...
Plutonians can't take one. They end up having
the general... Well, they're the king. It's all or nothing. But, like, that would have... Attack dice modifiers against dwarves of any type are really painful for dwarves.
Yeah.
Because you're relying on absorbing the wounds on your armour and then doing some damage back in static res. And if you can't do as many attacks, you can't win the fight. So I need to do that. And, having how well my hobgoblins did, I would take another unit of Wolfright, another unit of Light Cav.
Sounds like a difficult conundrum, sir. It sounds like you can't have another 180 pounds of hero, and then
I know.
And it's then like, more hobgoblins,
the things I need. I was like, I have to make some harsh choices because.
Well, you need some cavalry. You need your centaurs, don't you?
It's like it's the Chaos Dwarf list for what I would want it to have. I can't have everything. I like, I noticed that was I needed a flyer. I needed more another character. I was three characters was too short. Was too small.
Right.
I needed another character for this army, and. I would take off some of the expenses. Maybe I'd have to drop the Black Orcs and replace them with cheaper shit. I don't know.
Maybe. How many you got? Two?
Two units,
maybe.
So
because you can't get rid of the Centaurs because you've only got Wolf
Riders.
I've got
six expensive units up there, as in Dwarf Warriors, two Black Orcs, and eight expensive units, and the Bull Centaurs, which are 150 each. And they are good, but it's like, I could fit three other things for. Like three units of hobgoblins.
You've got no cavalry.
I mean, I shouldn't complain too much because the army's undefeated. It didn't lose.
Well, could it have beaten lizards?
I don't know.
Lizards are harsh.
His list wasn't your list. It wasn't. He took a stegodon. He took a lot of skinks.
Stegodon, go down
I
quick.
I think he had one or two units of coal one night.
What?
That was it.
What?
Temple guard. It was like the opposite of your list.
I'd have loved to fight that stegodon with something you can shoot it, man. They don't last long. You can shoot it.
It would have. Yeah, I would. I'd have enjoyed. It's a shame. Like I say, like a 16-round event needs four rounds, and it was a shame that we couldn't play that final. But equally, like. It would have been weird to play that final, say lose that final, and place like fifth or sixth or something.
The guy that lost that final wasn't first, second, or third.
What?
Guy who lost the final against he wasn't first, second, or third. Was
no, he wasn't. No.
So maybe he was fifth or sixth.
Well, as to say, like, but it needed another round to be an absolute winner.
Yeah.
And as I said, like what I wanted to go was. Two wins and a loss, and to go undefeated. And in fact, that means because in the last event I played, I was undefeated as well. So now that's 6-6. I'm on a bit of a winning streak at the moment in terms of organised play games.
No, you're fine winning. You've gone unbeaten in two tournaments and not won either of them.
Well, I know, but like, I've got second.
You've got to play different. You've got to get more aggressive.
I think if that was like how they were equals, and you're going to have to, it's going to be important. Chaos Dwarves aren't the army that can win big and not lose anything. I don't think they are. Like, I think other armies could do it better. Or other matchups. I don't mind. I mean, like, to me, it's more important to go undefeated.
I try to tell my kids, half of me says, I went with my kids yesterday. Well, one of them went on a school trip, and we were like, it was competitive, like map reading and stuff. He's only eight, and I'm with all these other 8-year-olds and stuff. And I say, it's the taking part that counts. It's not. I was telling them offline. It's like, when we were in public, it's the taking part. And as soon as we were off doing the map reading, we got winners. It's the winner, then first loser, second loser, third loser, winner,
wow.
Winner. And we won. We won them all day long.
But who's...
So I went on a school trip.
A school trip.
With my 8-year-old.
Yeah.
They asked me. I was the only man out of 107 kids and teachers.
My God.
So there were 16 women and me and 90 kids. And we were in groups of six. And we won. Because we're going to win. That's what we're going to win. Win and then first loser, second loser, third. Okay. Got to drum it into them, man. Okay. Life's tough.
Life is tough, yeah. All right, fair enough.
There's many a man sitting there sipping his beer, saying what could have been.
Hey, man. You seen those 10mm ogres, man? I gotta get me some of those sweet-ass 10mm ogres, man. I could brother up, man. I'm jonesing.
Could you jibber-jabber, fool? And get yourself to blackgateminiatures.com. That's blackgateminiatures.com.
Yes, wrap-up section.
So, next events. Well, it's Janice doing one, in September, or is it just the November
now? It's quite a way away, I mean, I'm afraid. So, the next actual event, which is confirmed at the moment, is the Triwiz in November.
Which is sold out. So,
yeah.
People need to make events.
I think there might be one ticket, I'm not sure. But, like, it's quite a way away. You know, and as I say, like...
We've not got one now till February or January. Is that even booked yet?
No. I mean, I want to see if Bonescon's happens.
It's not happening, I don't think.
Is it not?
Well, it hasn't been confirmed, but it's starting to talk about a year off of Glastonbury style.
January, February time in Colchester.
Okay, good.
What we have to decide with Air Barry is, can we make it four rounds by playing a smaller first round? Can we do that?
Oh, you could just play a smaller game. You don't have to
that's
play...
That's what I'm saying. It's like a 1,000-point game.
No, just change the list.
Oh, change the lists.
Just do, like, 1,500 points or
with
something.
With 2-1.
Well, no, we don't have to necessarily. It's a different game, isn't it? I don't know.
So, hang on.
If you play Warmaster Ancients, you don't even play at 2,000
points. No, I know.
2,000 is just an arbitrary point.
But if it's 2,000 points, where's your min maximums?
It's up to you, isn't it?
Can Empire have 2 units of cannons?
They'd be hard to play without them.
Yeah.
So you could have 1,500, but you round up. I don't know. You might end up with even more skewed lists, but who knows? You'd be quicker.
Well, you'd have to set a time. You have to adjust the times down as well. It's worth penning, isn't it? Like how
it depends what you want. If you want a proper four-round tournament, then you can't do it at 2,000 points, I don't think.
Yeah, no. It's a shame because the game is right at 2,000 points. Hmm.
But is it? Is it? Or is it...
It just seems right.
Yeah, maybe. I think the reason this game kind of doesn't scale as well between like 1,500 and 2,000 is because of how much the hero and general package costs. Because you can spend a third of that 1,500 points just on leaders.
Yes, you can. Yeah.
And then you really don't have much army left.
No, you don't. Yeah.
So I don't know. I think we'll probably end up just having them run three rounds.
Yeah, sadly. Yeah, but
because the first game, if you went at 1,000, they're really ropey. They're completely different games.
Yeah, exactly.
I don't like things like Stegodons just fucking rule the roost, mate.
But
what's killing the Stegodon?
But are you saying that the 1,000 point list has to be included in the 2,000 point list?
Maybe.
So if you took a Stegodon for that, you're gonna have to include Stegodon.
They're not hopeless.
That's quite interesting. The only way we'll have to do it is we'll have to see how we'll have to halve the time.
Well, like elephants or stuff. Elephants at
that. Say like play a 1,000 point game and see half the time. See how long it takes us. It's the only thing we can do, isn't it?
Well, people can still take 2.5 hours.
Yeah, but if you adjust the time down, like with a death clock setting, you'd have to be hard times to get four rounds in.
Yeah, but I'm thinking back to the Colchester event. I don't think we had that much free time anywhere.
I think
we were there as it opened, and we were there beyond it closing.
Yeah, exactly.
And we didn't have much time for anything else, so I don't think there's room for another one there.
It's a shame. I just like, it's just, I like...
You could maybe do it at the police club or something.
Yeah, I just like there being an absolute winner, that's all.
Well, then do a four-round event somewhere else.
Yeah, I'll have to look at it. Plenty of time to look at it.
So I don't know if that one that Lex posted up is happening or not. I'm not on the forum.
I don't know.
Enough.
I mean, Christoph has mentioned one in Belgium, like organising something.
Book them and they will come.
Yeah, exactly. But at the moment, that's the only confirmed thing.
Unless you live in Sweden where it's £10 a pint.
Yeah. Apparently. Well, that's the only... I should say, it's the only confirmed one that we know of.
So to all our European friends.
Yes. Please.
Please organise events, as long as it's not £10 a pint.
Yeah.
That's too harsh on us English folks, who are used to Buttons Halfpenny for our drinks. And then good luck to Sweden on Saturday. I don't mean that at all. Although they're a better team than England.
Why? Are they?
Yeah, for sure.
Really?
Hey, look at the recent record, man.
Oh, okay. Right. Our recent record's all right.
Define recent record.
Oh, okay, fair enough. I mean,
we lost to Iceland in the last tournament.
I know, but this is a different England.
This is a different England. We won a penalty shootout. Saturday's going to be interesting. My kids saw for the first time. I tried to warn them in advance of the game what a game against Colombia was likely to consist of. And they had no idea.
Have you seen some of the memes going around about England now? It's so funny. Because you shouldn't get, like, we're beginning. But the best one I've seen is a Matrix one, where it's like, you know, so at the end of the Matrix, when Neo's learn, like...
Which, the third Matrix?
The first Matrix.
Oh, the first one.
So he's
one.
There.
Oh, okay.
The agents point out their guns and fire loads of shots at him. He brings his hand, and instead of bullets, it just has the words like 52 years of hate, you know, shite results, and other people's flags comes flying at Neo, and he just holds up his hand and stops it. And it cuts to Morpheus, and he goes like, he's beginning to believe. And he, like, picks him up and drops him.
Jingo, it's the vulture. We're rubbish still. We're rubbish.
Yeah, and then there's another one which is about Colombia, and it has this, like, guy, a narco, like,
Like
telling, like, stop the England shipment. They're getting shit now.
It's like, tell the ref that's a yellow card. Yeah, I've seen that one. I think I've watched that on Netflix series. I can't remember what it's called.
Narcos?
Is it Narcos?
Yeah.
Colombia's a nut job place.
But anyway, England. If you'd said before the event that, okay, England are going to be in a position where you play Sweden, and if you beat Sweden, you're in a World Cup semi-final, you'd take that.
So with Sweden?
Yeah.
No, Sweden, they really like, would.
We're going to beat England? Oh, it's
going to be horrible.
It's tomorrow at 3 p.m. I'm away with the army. Like, I don't know what we're supposed to be doing, but what we actually are going to be doing is watching that England game. I cannot see them, like, trying to get our attention to anything clinical.
I feel so sorry for people who've got, like, weddings and stuff planned for tomorrow.
What can you do?
The wedding's going ahead at 3 and yeah. People are going to be on their phone.
Yeah, I had to go into training on Tuesday night when the last England-Colombia game was on, and I did email ahead. I said, "What's actually going to happen? The England game's on." Basically, we all just watched it in the bar, you know, like
getting paid.
Yeah,
NHS. <Basically, laughs>
You know,
hooray!
If we continue going for, I want, obviously...
It gets ratcheted up every time.
Of course it...
It's 24 million on Tuesday.
When Colombia went ahead on the penalty shootout, you just... Oh, the sinking feeling you got was just like, oh, no.
It's all good fun. Yep. All good fun. But I'm looking forward to Sweden. It'll be like a fair... There's no cheating going to go on. There's no rolling around diving. It's kind of like men on men.
Yeah, our team seems quite legit. Quite fair.
Well...
Quite fair.
We've got Dele Alli, unfortunately.
Oh, okay.
But anyway, so good stuff. So you're going to enjoy your holiday for a couple of weeks?
It's not a holiday.
Well, you call it what you want to call it. Paid holiday. Do you have to cook for yourself?
No.
Did you have to do your own washing?
I think I might have to do one washing load while in Holland. That's it.
Okay. Otherwise?
Otherwise, no.
That get done for you, I guess.
Well, no, it just you're taking it.
You're taking it off, not to worry. Okay. All right, so we're going to wrap this up so Paul can spend some QT with the family before we go off. So we'll be back in a couple of weeks or so.
Yeah.
That was Warmest Bookers episode 98.
Yeah, thank you very much to Sterling. Fantastic event.
Would you like to know more?